You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca. XM, Davey, how you doing?
Don't boo, vote. And I think I stumbled on an episode of Oprah here. Every time I turn around, you're giving out prizes. Do you have something for me?
Maybe next time, Davey. Sorry, came in. Nothing right now.
Very well. What if I win the contest?
Oh, do you know the answer?
I don't.
That's why you're looking. our listeners are quick, buddy. We've already got the correct answer. Connor's going to have to go through it and find out who is first.
Is it Andrew Mangiapane?
No, it is not Andrew Mangiapane, which my funny stat was Andrew Mangiapane through the first six games had a 100 shooting percentage. He had two shots and two goals in six games. They both came in the first two games of the season. So it's good that he's scoring. The problem was he wasn't shooting. But last night, he unfortunately didn't score, but at least he had some chances. He doubled his shot total in one game. Could have been my other question. Which order doubled his shot total last night? Being him, but Jake Wallman also, because he hadn't played yet, so he would have done it.
So I guess he was like the Dos Equis man there for the first few games of the season. He doesn't always shoot, but when he does, he scores goals.
Yes, very much true. Right, so very true. What is the double of zero? It's still zero. So I guess Jake Wallman didn't double his his shot total. So now that I'm remembering math, was zero times zero is zero.
Still zero.
Yeah. Speaking of zeros, the Calgary Flames offense how much a struggle? Like, they were bad last year scoring, and they're even worse early in seven games. Davey, is this going to be a really long year for the Calgary Flames?
Yes. I'm deeply concerned about the Calgary Flames. Like, last year was one of those years where, quite honestly, I think they overperformed expectations, and I think a lot of things fell their way. And even in saying all that, they didn't make the playoffs. And I didn't expect them to have a year where that many things would break their way again. They didn't go out in the offseason and really upgrade the group at all. So I was concerned about Calgary coming into the year. And from what I've heard, it has done nothing to diminish those concerns on my part of what's going on in Calgary right now. They are not a good team. They can't score. I was actually quite surprised they didn't go out in the offseason and get a quality backup goalie to help Dustin Wolf out as well. They're overplaying him. They have no structure in front of him. So his game isn't looking really good. No one's helping him out. They're not scoring. This is going to be a very, very long year in Calgary. And I guess the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow is the fact that if you're ever going to have a bad year, this would be the year to have it, because there's a pretty good prize awaiting whoever it is wins the lottery, and Gavin McKenna. No guarantee you win it, but obviously if you have the worst year, you've got the best chance. They need a guy like Gavin McKenna. They need a Gavin McKenna to Calgary as Connor McDavid was to the Edmonton Oilers, to really drop the guy in and totally change the look of their team. They've got some nice young pieces there, but none of them foundational pieces, I don't think, in Calgary. The Matt Coronados, the Connor Zeris, they're nice young pieces. Nice young piece. They're not foundational piece. They need a guy to come in and be the lead dog in that group, and they don't have that right now. So yeah, it's going to be a long year in Calgary, and it'll be interesting now to see if they start selling veterans off sooner than later. But I just see a team with very little direction right now. They look kind of like a rudderless group. And when you have a situation like that and your roster is inferior to begin with, it's you're prone for a long year.
Yeah, no, that is very true. And, you know, there's a few other players. Some people are pretty high on Keaton Verhoff, the right shot, 6'4" defenseman who is playing at the University of North Dakota right now, just left the WHL. You got Ryan Rubrocki out of Niagara. So, but. You know, I don't think any of them are right there yet with Gavin McKenna. But speaking of draft pick, players. You know me, Dave. I always try to be pretty cautious on young players rather than overhype them and then rip them after that. But, man, young Matthew Schaefer has played. He has looked so good. Like, I can't believe, like, he's not even 18 years and 50 days old yet, for goodness sakes. Like, he is a young 18-year-old player in the National Hockey League and is playing phenomenal.
Yeah, he is. He's a guy that makes you want to try and tune into the New York Islanders. And this is not to throw shrapnel at the good people on Long Island. But how many times in recent memory have you said that the New York Islanders are appointment viewing? It just doesn't happen very often. They had a few good years. Three or four years ago when they got to the conference final 2 years in a row. But they certainly didn't do it in an exciting fashion. They were a very stingy defensive team. They got timely scoring. They got good enough goaltending. And then ultimately they ran into a team in the Tampa Bay Lightning that was as stingy as they were, but had a few more game breakers, and they ran into a wall. They were never an exciting team. With Matthew Schaefer, this guy has the ability to bring you out of your seat every single shift that he goes on the ice. And as you point out, he's not just 18, he's a young 18. What he is showing has been really impressive to watch. He's got poise. He's got, like, I had a talk with Matthew in the summertime. It would have been around the beginning of August or so, maybe late July, at a golf tournament around town here. And I was just struck by the maturity of this kid. Like, I really was. A lot of times you meet guys who have just been drafted. They look scared as hell. You know, they're not making eye contact with you, not because they're being rude, just because everything's coming a mile a minute and you're young and you're scared and you're nervous and you don't want to say anything that offends anybody. But Matthew Schaefer, man, like he looked me in the eye, shook my hand. He didn't look like he wanted to be anywhere else. He was engaged in what I was saying as much as I was engaged in what he was saying. He was with his brother. His brother couldn't have been nicer. And I came away thinking, like, we sure this kid's only 18? Like, are we sure he's not at least 23? Because I've met few 18-year-olds with the level of maturity that Matthew has. And when you know his backstory, that is incredible. He is a guy that is easy to root for and a guy that I think everyone on Long Island can get behind. This type of guy that is future cap material, in my mind, for fun and soon. Like, that's how impressive he was. And to see what he's been able to do on the ice. This guy's got a point in every game he's played so far. Mm-hmm. He carries the puck up the ice with confidence and speed. He creates. He's in position defensively. He's big. He's rangy. I haven't found anything to dislike about this kid's game yet. And that's the scary part, is that you know he's going to get considerably better than he is right now just through osmosis and gaining experience in the National Hockey League. This guy is the complete package, and I've really been impressed with how he started.
Spencer Knight, 1.96 goals against, a .937 save percentage in Chicago right now. And like, when he's in goal, it's lights out. When they put in Arvid Soderblom, it's a little bit of a different story so far. But, you know, Chicago, by their standards, I think they got to be pretty happy with the start they're off to, you know. Now, and Soderblom, like, he's played Boston and St. Louis, not necessarily dominant teams. It's not like the only playoff team that Chicago has played is Florida, you know, but they did beat Utah and they did beat Anaheim and, I guess they beat St. Louis, my bad. So they're a playoff team as well. So, but they're off to a much better start early on. Knight's numbers are obviously going to come down somewhat, but what do you make of the Blackhawks? And can they avoid being a bottom five team?
I will say that I am more impressed with what I've seen out of them than I was expecting at this point in the year. Look, the fact that they found Spencer Knight and he is giving them some reliable goaltending is important. That was a big problem that they had last year. Couldn't keep the puck out of their net. Now, you're right. His numbers are not going to stay where they are, but he has shown the ability to give good goaltending. And he's at the age now where a lot of goalies start to come into their own. And he went through some struggles a few years ago, and hopefully he's got that sorted out and he's past that. But he's a guy that we forget was highly touted when he came into the league in Florida. You know, that was at a time in Florida with the Panthers where Bobrovsky had a down year. And the suggestion at the time was, well, is this guy going to start pushing Bobrovsky out of the number one role sooner than later? And obviously that didn't pan out. But it's so rare for goalies at 20 years of age to come in and start playing the bulk of the workload. It doesn't happen. 25 seems to be where goalies really hit their stride. So he's getting to that age now. And he's playing with some confidence, and that's been good to see. Connor Bedard looks as good as I've seen him so far in his NHL career. There was a guy that probably was overhyped when he came into the league, and the expectations were at a level where he never had a hope of meeting them. He looks like he's put the last couple of years in the NHL of experience to work this summer, and understands now what he needs to do in order to be successful. And that's the details of his game. He's got the raw skill set. If you put him on the driveway with a goalie, he's going to score 10 times out of 10. But I don't care how good your shot is, if you're not in position to get the puck, or if you're getting pushed off the puck in the corners, or if you're not retrieving the puck strong along the walls, those type of things that lead you to being in positions to use the shot that he has, which is on another level. He's been much better in those areas of the game this year. Frank Nazar looks like a hit. I talked to somebody when he signed that deal, who's very familiar with the Michigan hockey scene, University of Michigan, and I said, what is your bet here? Like, do you think that was a good decision on the part of Chicago to commit to him long-term at big money like they did so quickly? And I was told by this source that it might be like 2 years, but he said he was fairly confident that this was going to work out. Well, it seems like it's already working out. And Frank Nazar, not only has he been good on the ice, I love the personality that this kid has. He's got a good head on his shoulders. I like the guy that he is. And I was told by this source that his demeanor off the ice and what he's all about and his professionalism and how he approaches the game is second to none. That's why Chicago felt comfortable in placing that bet on Nazar. But he's already delivering. So, we've seen goaltending improvement. We've seen Bedard get better. We've seen Nazar hit. Like, now you're starting to see some elements coming together here, and maybe Chicago won't be quite as bad as we were expecting. I still think that lineup is pretty lean. It's pretty lean. But that's what they need. They need Bedard to reach the level of expectations that he had when he came into the league. They need Nazar to hit sooner than later. Seems like he's hitting. They need goaltending. And now they need some more pieces. So, I look at them as a team that, to me, I would consider a good season for Chicago if you can kind of be in the mix around the trade deadline. I don't expect them to make the playoffs. I really don't. But if you can play like 60 meaningful games before you start to kind of hit the wall and some teams make up some ground and put some space between themselves and the Blackhawks, I think that would be a successful year. Because coming into the year, to be honest with you, Jason, I was worried Chicago was going to be a bottom 3-5 team right from the word go. And here it is already 3 weeks that they bought themselves into the season where you start to think, hey, you know what, maybe we are a decent team here. Maybe we can feel good about ourselves. And you start coming to the rink in a good mood and you have breaks go your way. And then before you know it, you're to Christmas time and you've played meaningful games. Instead of a team like, for instance, Calgary, where it looks like, man, we're not even at November here.
No.
And you're thinking like, holy cow, we got 5 more months and we don't have a chance.
No. When do you think regular season play starts to impact the decisions for the Olympic rosters? Like, is it game 25? Like, I know, like, we know there's six locks on all the teams, right? And then there's, mm-hmm. like, I could probably go on Team Canon and say I think there's 10 or 11 or 12 realistic yeah. locks that I think are going to make that team. But how much do you think this regular season will impact the decisions for the Olympic roster?
Yeah, so my understanding is they don't have to announce the rosters nearly as early as they did the Four Nations, right? It's into January, if I'm not mistaken. Do we know the day off the top of our heads here that they need to announce the rosters?
Yeah, I think it's something like in January. I got to double check.
Yeah. So, like, I would say if you get to December 1st and you're still not having a great year, or you've got a guy who maybe wasn't necessarily on your radar that has played lights out through the first 2 months, I think that's enough of a sample size. You know, you're probably looking at 25 to 30 games there of play, where I think that's a big enough sample size. You can start to lend legitimacy towards it. So I would say like early December. And then that's when I think managers will start to recalibrate what they were thinking coming into the year. Because let's be honest, all of the countries have their rosters written down in pencil on a depth chart in August, right, of what they think it's probably going to be. And then obviously the lower you get on the roster, the more likelihood it is that some guy might play themselves out of contention and some guy on the sixth line, if you will, you know, might play themselves in. And I think at that point, December 1st is where you take stock and say, okay, well, here's a guy that we thought we liked, but man, this guy that we had down the depth chart, he's outperformed them to this point, and we got to start taking that seriously. Like, if Connor Bedard keeps this up, he wasn't in my discussion for Canada in the summertime. If he has another great 5-6 weeks, does he play himself up into the conversation, not only for what he's done this year? Remember, you can take 25 guys, so you can take a lot more players than you could to the Four Nations, and you know he is going to be a part of your program down the road. Has he done enough to want to include him this time around, to give him that taste? That's when I think, you know, managers will start to recalibrate, around December 1st when you get 25, 30 games.
Yeah, you look at the roster, they had basically 13 forwards at Four Nations, and guys who weren't on that roster, they're off to great starts. Mark Scheifele, 7 goals already in 6 games, 10 points. Tom Wilson, 4 goals, 10 points in 7 games, and brings you a very – and Tom Wilson scored you 30 goals last year.
Skate. And one of those games against John Cooper earlier on in the year, just to make sure he reminded him, don't forget about me.
Yeah, Nick Suzuki, another guy who didn't make the roster, who's off to a good start. So I think, like, if you look at guys, like, I think Konechny is going to be hard-pressed to be back on the roster again. I'm not sure about Hagel. And not that Hagel's a bad player at all, but I think there's going to be 25% new players on the team. There's just going to be some turnover. I don't think all three goalies are going to be there for a variety of reasons. I think there's going to be some forwards, probably at least one defense, because they basically had 8 D-men, and they're going to take 8 D-men, 14 forwards, and 3 goalies. That's what I'd assume. I don't see why you would take 15 forwards and 7 defensemen. That doesn't make much sense to me.
No, it doesn't make any sense to me.
I think it'd be 14 and 8. So.
What about Brad Marchand? We were debating this at practice this morning.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He's close. I know he didn't play a ton, but man, you look at him in playoffs, and then what he's got, he's a point a game player to start the year. Right. So I think he'll be one of those guys that they're like, hey, how's he looking in January? Where's his speed at? All those sorts of things. And I think if he's there, he's a big game player. And they'll
big
look
game
at that.
Player.
Yeah.
NHL size ice.
Yeah.
You can rely on him in a fourth line role.
Yeah.
An agitation role. He can kill penalties. If someone gets hurt, he can elevate, and he's shown you that. And you know he can probably, like, you're asking him for like 3 or 4 games. Can you give me 3 or 4 games of your best? I think he can. And the other thing I'd say about him, when you're asking somebody for 3 or 4 games on that stage, the moment will not get to Brad Marchand. And I'm confident in that, in a way that I wouldn't necessarily be confident in another guy that doesn't have near the international pedigree that Brad Marchand does. That's why I think it would be, and you can even sit him out as a healthy scratch. He's not going to bitch and moan and whine and complain. I just think everything about the guy says versatility, whether it's top line, lower in the lineup, out of the lineup, good vibes in the room, NHL size ice. You're not asking them to fly up and down an international ice rink. And he's playing good right now. There's still a lot to like about Brad. And I'll tell you what, I thought down the stretch last year, like March and April, prior to the Stanley Cup playoffs, after the Four Nations, I wouldn't have said that. I would have said, yeah. And I did say, this is a guy that might be in tight to make the Olympics. I think I have to change my mind now.
Davey, have yourself a great one. We'll talk to you later.
Sounds good, buddy. See you.